Now, would you like to have your Bibles open?
I'm going to preach this morning. I'm just going to base the message on one text from the book of Proverbs in the 18th chapter. It's a text that some of you will know. Others will never have come across it before. But it's worthy of our attention this morning for this Easter service. So here is Proverbs 18. I'll read it to you. The 24th verse, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I assume that the Easter message is still understood in its broad outline by most people. Namely, that at the centre of the Easter message is that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he died and that on the third day he rose from the dead. This is the very heartbeat of the gospel. And on a day like today, we might feel particularly exercised to remember Jesus in this way. I'm not keen on these special days, even like Easter, in that Christ, the risen Saviour, is surely to every Christian the risen Saviour every day of the week. If he is the one who was crucified, he was crucified for sins that makes an impression on me every day of the week. The Christian gospel is not a set of propositions. And to this end, I want to try to attract all of you this morning. It's not a set of propositions. Rather, it is like this. For anyone who has grasped the Christian gospel, they have grasped this, that it is to be able to come into a living communication and relationship with the one who died upon the cross and was raised again. To enter into that living relationship is what every true Christian knows something about. Just listen to the Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament. He said, "To me to live is Christ." That's not a set of propositions, but to me to live, to be alive, to live is Christ. If you'd have asked Paul, he would have said, "Christ is my very life." We've all got to live our daily lives. And Paul lived his life by his faith in Jesus Christ. Now I want to say to you this morning that by virtue of Christ coming and dying the death that he died and being raised again, there are things which accrue to us. There are things which come down to us. So I'm not going to set before you again this Easter the proposition that Christ died and that he was raised again, but rather I'm going to talk about something which accrues to those for their daily life if they believe in him. Now this has to be right up to date. And you're looking at someone who you might think is a complete dinosaur and he's totally out of date. This is a man who's never sent a text message, never sent an email, never started up a computer in the way that you have. But I know that there is such a thing called Facebook. And I know, because I have it on good authority, where's Dan? He's somewhere. He tells me that he's very popular. He's got over 150 friends. This is extraordinary to me. I can't think that if I went on Facebook, I'd have more than one or two. But anyway, this is relevant what I'm going to speak to you about this morning, because I'm going to speak to you about Jesus, who may be our friend. Surely I can get your attention, because I'm going to begin like this. Let me ask this question. What is it about us that yearns for friendship? A worldwide industry is being created called Facebook, which trades on the idea of the need of friends. What is it about us that needs friends? Are we lonely? Is it because we live in such a dark world we can't face it by ourselves? Is it possible that it's because of the myriad disappointments that we need friends and that the brightest sunbeam is a friend? Perhaps it's because friendship halves our troubles and doubles our joys that we long for friends. If I asked you to put your hands up, I wonder how many of you would say that you're on Facebook and you're on it because of so-called friends. We would have a happier world if every child was a friend of their parents. So I look at all the children. We would have a happier world if every parent was the friend of their child. If every husband was a friend of their wives, and every wife was a friend with their husband, we would have a better world, of course we would. But to find a real friend is scarce. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. That is what the text says. So I'm going to set out for you this morning the things which accrue to us by virtue of Easter, that come down to us by virtue of the fact that Jesus has died and has been raised from the dead. First of all, he's a friend in need. Now, surely we take friends to us because we have some need of them. They provide comfort. Well, they do. They provide support and a shoulder to cry on, a listening ear. We're the neediest creatures in the world, aren't we? On God's earth. Aren't we? I wonder how elated people are when their Facebook numbers of friends jump. And it's not at 50, it's at 75 or 575 or whatever. What needy creatures we are. And I want to just quickly tell you how needy we are. We suffer hunger and poverty in this world. People do anyway. And illness and cold and sickness. But there is something else that we have as the greatest need to be addressed. And that is that the Bible says, as I've read to you this morning, that we are sinful. We are in need. We can't cure ourselves. We've got the plague of plagues. We are imprisoned debtors to God. We are guilty for all of our wrongs. We have a sin nature and we know it. We're not getting better. We're getting worse. The whole world is so clearly in need of friends. Everywhere we look, there is evidence that convinces us that sin is deep-rooted. Have you looked at your television screens this week? You must have done. Can we extricate ourselves? Can we make ourselves better? I think we all know the answer to that. Our sin is so vicious. It's so ingrained within us. We will not change. There are some of you in this room this morning. You will refuse to change perhaps all of your lives. And most of you will say, I've got no power to change. Exactly. You need a friend. You've got no power to change. You can't lift yourself up to God. You can't better yourself with God. You can't bring yourself to God. We need a friend. And such a friend is Jesus Christ, who can be found. Have you heard the expression, a friend in need is a friend indeed? If we are people in need, then we need a friend indeed. What's the true extent of a person's friendship towards you? Is it what they say? Is it what they feel? Is it their wishes for you? I think you all would say, no, it's deeds that count. A friend who is a friend indeed. That's what really marks me. That's the friend that really counts. The saying is, friendly is that friendly does. Don't you want a friend who does rather than a friend that just speaks? Surely you do. Could Christ have done more to confirm his friendly wishes towards us? Is there anything more that he could have done to express his friendly love and concern for mankind? Let me quickly tell you, his God became man. He was rich, he became poor. He was willing to be rejected and spat upon and deserted and left to die upon a cruel cross. He would forsake everything of the glory of heaven so as to come to our world to befriend us. He suffered the most painful death imaginable. He was innocent but found guilty and crucified as a criminal so that we might be befriended by him. He bore shame that we might receive glory. He suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. What a saviour. What a friend is Jesus. And I ask this question this morning. Is there anyone who can compare with him? I am in need, Lord, but I need a friend indeed. I need someone who will do deeds for me. And here is Jesus. No one was ever so high, who stooped so low to bring us into his friendship. How can I recommend this friend to you? I wonder, not that I know anything about how this works, you're looking at a complete ignoramus when it comes to the question of Facebook, but I presume it works like this. That some of you would really like to have a particular friend at times. I wish he was my friend. I wish she was my friend. I presume it must work like that. And then you must feel somewhat elated and pleased and glad when that person becomes your friend. I want to recommend to you, to some of you, a new friend this morning. And I want to show you why you should consider him to be your friend. First of all, he's mighty and he is powerful. Perhaps we might have friends who would work to do our good, but along the way they prove to be inept. They're not quite up to the mark. They might be able to soothe our sorrows a little bit and relieve our grief sometimes, and they might be able to weep with us when we weep and so on and so forth. But they're unable to deliver us from the absolute and ultimate pain which life brings. The best of people are people at best, and therefore we know that they are feeble because they're like us. But the Lord Jesus Christ is almighty. And so many people have never considered Christ because they don't realize who he is, and that he is able, as he befriends us, to be mighty and powerful in both body and in soul. You might say, well, I've got a friend who can do this for me and that for me at the minute. Can they do it for the rest of life? Could they do it for all eternity? He is almighty to be your friend and to help you now and into eternity. He has such power, this friend, that he can pardon all of our sin. He has such power, this friend, that he can deal with all of our guilt. He has such power, this friend, that he can transform our lives and give us a new life. How many people would say, really what I need is a new life. I need a new start. He has the power to do it. He is the one who sticks closer than a brother. His power is what I would call true greatness. He can heal the brokenhearted, and there are plenty of those in this world. Is there anyone here this morning who would say, I am the brokenhearted? Is the fear of others today, is it strong? Well, I suppose so. Is the opposition of the world evil and overwhelming? Well, you've seen it this week. Is the fear of death daunting? Is the devil the roaring lion that the Bible says he is? Yes. But there is one who is mightier and stronger than all of this, stronger than death, stronger than sin, stronger than life itself, who is able to be your friend. He is the one who died and was raised on the third day. He is such a mighty friend worth having. You watch. I'm not a prophet, but I'm just able to predict. You watch the people who were once your friends over time. You watch them drift away. You watch them come and go. But the Lord has a mighty staying power to be our friends, our friend for the rest of our lives. How else could I attract you to him, this friend? He's loving and affectionate. Wouldn't you like that in a friend? Does that not interest you? How many people have ever taken friends to them who were not loving and not affectionate? If we give money, if we give our time and advice and help, but we do it without love, what kind of friend have we become? And yet the Bible speaks the love of Jesus that passes knowledge. It is so big and so great, it surpasses our understanding. So that as a friend, let me tell you this, there are no limits to his pity. I wonder if you as a friend have limits to your pity. I'll bet if I were a betting man that every single one here that you have limits to your pity and limits to your patience. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend. He refuses none. There's no end to his compassion. He's not afraid to befriend the worst. He's not afraid to befriend the lowliest, the weakest and the most despised. And someone might say, well, that's me this morning, the most broken and the most messed up. Go on, go out into the world. Go on to Facebook and befriend the most messed up and the most broken. Not the ones you want to befriend. Go on, try and do it. See if you're willing to do it. The most messed up, the most broken, the weakest, the lowliest. Let's see if you're willing to befriend those kinds of people. The filthy and the despised. Are you willing to befriend those? He said of himself, if you come to me, I'll never turn you away. I'll never turn you away. He who comes to me, I'll never turn away. Think of the people who you turn away as being friends. And the Lord Jesus Christ is prepared to be a friend of anyone. Do you ditch friends on Facebook? I've heard that you do. Well, maybe some of you don't, but I've heard that people do ditch friends and get new ones. The Lord never ditches his friends. Never. He's never tired of hearing their complaints. He's never tired of helping them with their failures. The Bible says he takes pleasure in his people. What a wonderful friend. Don't we tend to love those people who we see something that deserves our affection? Isn't that the way we work? Of course it is. We said, this one deserves my affection, and that one deserves my friendship. Of course we do. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ loves his enemies. He loves sinners, and he never leaves them, and he never forsakes them. He never quits on them. He never ditches them. He never gives up on them. What a friend, the hymn writer says, we have in Jesus. What a friend. His love is pure. It's pure, it's unselfish, and it's purely free. And it's for anyone and for everyone who would long for him to be their friend. I'm trying to persuade you to take him up as your friend. Listen to this. I'll try and persuade you this way. He's not just a powerful and loving friend, but he's a wise friend. Now, this should reach all of you. Often in life we make unwise choices, don't we? Because all of you in this room will have had friends who you wished had never been your friends. Because friendship is easily blind and stupid and foolish. How much bad advice has been given by so-called friends, which can lead to the most dreadful trouble and error in life? I wonder how many people have followed the wayward advice of a friend. And you are where you are today. Be very careful how you choose your friends. By contrast, the Lord never spoils. He never spoils us. He gives us what we really need. He gives what is truly for our best, for our benefit. He makes no mistakes. None at all. We are his children if we are true Christians, and he orders all of our ways by the wisdom of God. All things happen at the right time. Listen carefully now, boys and girls. They happen in the right way, that is, just the right amount of sickness and health and poverty and wealth and sorrow and joy. All is given by his good hand. He sees individual lives and he mixes the bitterness with the sweet. Have you had some bitterness in your friendship with Jesus? Well, he'll mix the sweet in as well. Not a drop too much and not a drop too little. Just look around you and see the harm which has come to so many people by so-called friends. If the older people don't want to listen now, you can switch off for a second. I'll just have the ears of the boys and girls. It will be a friend who will coax you to wrongdoing. It'll be a friend that encourages you to take drugs or enters into misbehavior, perhaps sexually as you get older. It'll be a friend. Be careful who you choose as your friend. The Bible does not say this for nothing, that thousands, I add thousands, have been wounded in the house of their friends. Jesus, as a friend, is wise. Choose your friends wisely. He'll lead you into the ultimate good. Not just today, but for the rest of your lives. Quickly, what's his track record like as a friend? I'll tell you. He's got a great track record. He's my best friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is my best friend. But he's not just been my friend. He has been the friend of so many, and he has proved himself so completely. Just listen to this. He has been the friend of people in all walks of life. He has been the friend of kings. Think of King David and Solomon and Job. Some of his friends have been ordinary, poor folks like the disciples. He has been their friend. Others have been old, and he was their friend, and he has been the friend of the young. Think of Joseph and Samuel and Timothy. He's been friends with all kinds of people, not just one sort. He was the friend of Moses, that extraordinary, powerful man in word and deed. He is the friend of those who are plain. Are we plain? Well, I am. He's been the friend of the fervent and the warm-hearted, the friend of those with strong and powerful intellects, friend of the gentle and the retiring like John, those who were active and busy. He was their friend, the businesswoman like Lydia, and men, military men, soldiers with a military history and service. Look how able he is, able to be a friend to everyone. Don't close yourself outside his friendship. Some of Christ's friends were married. Some were unmarried. Some were sick. Some were servants and slaves. They came from all quarters of life. He has been the most successful friend that there ever was. He's the friend to black people and white people, to people of every language, without exception, to Jew and Gentile. What a friend we have in Jesus. Everyone's done very well this Easter message. Well done, the young people. Well done, the young people. I just want to ask this final question, which is this: do we want Christ to be our friend? That must be the ultimate question. Up until I was 19, my answer was no, no interest in Christ being my friend. And up until now, many of you will say, not interested in Christ being my friend. Let me persuade you. Isn't it true that all good things come to an end? This life is so unstable. Of course it is. Riches take their wings and fly away. The people who are rich today are poor tomorrow. It's the nature of riches. Youth does the same, and beauty also. They last only for a few years, and then they take their wings and fly. The strength of our bodies declines, and our minds wane. Our intellects get exhausted. Everything fades. Absolutely everything is passing away. And yet there is no passing away. There is no change in the friendship of Jesus. It goes on and on. One hymn writer says this: the blood-sealed friendship changes not. It is a friendship that cannot change. Husbands have been known to leave their wives, and wives to leave their husbands, parents to abandon their children. Human vows and promises of faithfulness have soon been forgotten. But Christ never once changed his feelings towards those whom he loves. And he remains their friend forever. He's the same, the Bible says, yesterday, today and forever. If the older people here don't listen to this, do very much, but I'll reach out to the children, to the young people, the next generation, and I'll ask them to say this with me, that here is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He never goes away from his friends. Listen to this. Listen. He never waves goodbye. Never. Our life is full of goodbyes, isn't it? And farewells and departures and death. In other words, our lives are so much about scattering. Of course they are. But he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Not in this life, nor in the next. Is there the valley of the shadow of death to go into? I can't predict anything for you. But I can predict the valley of the shadow of death for everyone who is in this room. Can your friends, as they are called, can they go with you into that place? No, they cannot. I'm speaking to you this morning of the crucified Jesus, raised on the third day, who would be your friend. I would go with you even into the valley of the shadow of death. Even there, when we wake in another world, he is there still with us as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I am with you, he said, even unto the end of the world. Have I persuaded you to take up a new friend? Do you feel persuaded? Would he be your choice as a friend this morning? What a question this is. It's with you. It lies with you. This Easter, it's about you. Are you going to go on and continue with the same old friends? Or would you take up a new one? Whose credentials, in just 40 minutes, I've set before you. You might never hear these things before. You might have never heard them before. You might never hear them again. But this Easter, you might ask yourself about this question of friendship with God. I'm finishing like this. By nature we are God's enemies and not his friends. It's because of our sinfulness. He's against us and not for us. We can't ever come into relationship with him. We can't ever truly know him. It's not possible. The message of Easter is that Jesus has died for this very reason and been raised again to bring us into relationship with God so that we might know him as what? Not as an unreliable friend, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This Easter, learn something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. Place your faith in him. People ask me, what must I do to be saved? Believe in him. What do you want me to tell you? What do you want me to add? Repent of your sins and believe in him. What else is there to do? He has done it all. That's why he hung on that poor cross. And that's why he was raised from the dead. Hasn't he shown you enough that he wants to be your friend? Don't remain his enemy. Come to him and believe in him, and he'll be gracious to you. What a message. The message of Christ's friendship is. May God bless his word to us this morning and encourage us at this Easter time. Amen.
Amen. Amen.